Big thanks to HelloFresh.com for supporting this episode of The Morning Stream. Receive $40 off your first week's deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code TMS05. That's TMS05 when you subscribe. Coming up on TMS, Nice Guys is okay.
Awarding ourselves.
Turkish massage is weird.
Ghost in the chimney.
Lawn jockey.
Bieber is a winner.
Also a lawn jockey. Major spoilers.
V for video games and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
You ever have this problem? Two different kinds of Rolodex cards? Meshing them can be tricky. The same goes for PC databases.
This show is so gay.
Oh, whoops. Wrong song. Here you go. The Morning Stream. The
Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. Why, oh, why did I take the blue pill?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream, TMS for short. This is Monday, the 23rd of May, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Bernabert.
Hello. Welcome to our Legacy Podcast.
Legacy Podcast. Well, how would we know even that? We wouldn't even know that because it didn't get mentioned.
Not a single mention of all this, you know. Oh, yeah, we're going to really, you know, really push the fact that you guys are legacy podcasts because you're not eligible to win anymore. Yeah. The word legacy never escaped Todd Cochran's lips during the thing yesterday.
Not once. Not even referencing anything else. Not even him saying, "Oh, I need to take my legacy in to get the oil changed." Or
anybody,
you know,
anybody have a Subaru Legacy out there?
Right. It didn't happen. It didn't even get mentioned. All we got was lectured on how everyone's websites suck, and then nominations for awards this year. And one of them was,
"This show is so gay."
But I can use that out of context now.
Yes.
Which I plan to do. On the frequent.
Ad infinitum.
Yeah. Got us some other nice ones like...
Gilbert Gottfried.
You familiar with him?
He's the guy who does those Affleck commercials, right?
Yeah,
that guy?
Yeah. Gilbert Gottfried. And then this is a good one.
Cool things entrepreneurs do.
What are entrepreneurs?
Entrepreneurs.
All right, Todd. We're having a little fun in your direction. We'll get to you in a minute.
Yeah.
But congratulations, Brian, on this.
From the Healy Carrier.
Healy
Carrier, yes. Because it rhymes with shield, Healy Carrier.
Or really the internet's favorite.
The Jizz Whiz.
That's the best one. Yeah, that's what you get if you piss off the kid working behind the Orange Julius counter.
Yeah, the Jizz Whiz.
You get a Jizz Whiz.
The Jizz Whiz.
He said it with a straight face, too, which is fantastic.
Right.
Jury got a couple.
Politics.
We also talked about Brian's penis. Here's that.
Bearded fruit.
And FilmSack got a mention.
Bad gay movies.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's a show called Bad Gay Movies.
Bad Gay Movies.
Yeah.
Wow. What do you do when you've covered Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Yours Truly, Julie Newmar, or whatever it was called?
I know what you get.
Bearded fruit.
All right.
Great. Oh, yeah. You're right. Okay. There you go. Thank you for answering that question.
All right. Anyway, we'll talk about that in a second. There's stuff to say. I've kind of spent my anger, my rage is because I laid it all out for you yesterday. And
you did. I received a diatribe text.
Yeah. And it just went on for a while it was going on. And Brian was kind enough to just be the receptacle for my anger. It was fine. It's fine. Whatever. Oh, yeah. At the end of the day, who cares? I know who cares.
Gilbert Gottfried.
He cares.
And Adam K. Rolla.
Oh, we got
Mark Maron.
They got this.
The Angry Chicken.
They got that.
Angry Chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going up against From the Healy Carrier. I think we don't have really a much of a chance in that one.
No.
I think the chicken's going to get that.
The Jizz Whiz.
The Jizz Whiz might win it. I think the Jizz Whiz may have it.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll talk about that. All right. So I saw a movie over the weekend.
Oh, what'd you see?
Well, I went and saw, because I was excited about it, because, you know, I like me some 70s Shane Black movie thing.
Cop deal,
yeah. It's like, you know, guy who wrote the Lethal Weapon movies. And
oh, really? Okay, I didn't know that's what this was coming from.
Yeah, wrote and directed Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and made Iron Man 3. Mm-hmm. He's the director of Iron Man 3, where...
you'll never see me coming.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
So
I do remember that.
That was one. So he's, you know, I like Shane Black. I like what he does. So I went and saw The Nice Guys, this movie with Russell Crowe and Ryan Gosling. Boy, he's a real humdinger, that Ryan Gosling. anyway.
He's a very attractive man.
He's a very attractive man, smooth and convincing. And we saw them, Kim and I decided to just go on an impromptu date Saturday. We're like, you know what? Got a bunch of stuff done. Let's go. You and I, me and you, lady, let's go on a date. You and I, let's go to dinner. Let's go to a movie. What movie? Oh, I know. Let's see The Nice Guys because that just opened. Okay, sweet. And I don't know if it's just Nice Guys or The Nice Guys. I better look this up. Rotten.
I don't think it matters.
I don't think it matters either, but it's going to annoy me that if I don't know. Okay, here it is. It is the top box office. The Nice Guys. Okay, there's a the in there.
Oh, it is The Nice Guys. Okay.
Now, according to Rotten Tomatoes, which I purviewed before I left, right before I left, I checked it out. That movie is getting 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm going to sneeze. Here it goes. All right.
Zoom tight.
Thank you. There's some grass growing outside that likes to make me sneeze. So we thought, well, 90, that's strong. That's some mm-hmm. that's some pretty good numbers there. So we thought we'd go see what's up with that. And I thought it was horribly mediocre.
Really?
Yeah, I did not think it was all that great. It was really all over the place and tonally kind of broken. And I don't know who I was supposed to care about. And at the end, I kind of hated everyone. And I don't know what happened there. I'm willing to admit, maybe I'm the weird outlier on this one, but I went in expecting rad, and I came out. I mean, maybe I overexpected. I don't know what I thought I was going to get, but it was just kind of, I don't know, just limp and lame.
So Gosling and Crowe, and it's kind of funny that there's a movie starring Gosling and Crowe up against another movie called Angry Birds.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, but Gosling and Crowe were on Jimmy Kimmel on two successive nights, and the clips that they showed were hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, you know, all right, if that's any indication of how this movie is, then great. This one bums me out. I'm really bummed to hear that you don't like it because you're one of those people whose reviews I trust.
You and I usually align pretty well.
Yeah.
Like you'll come back from something and say, oh, it was amazing, and I'll see it and I'll end up agreeing. So yeah, we tend to agree on films. I don't know what the deal was here. I don't know. Like I'm racking my brain as to why it didn't work for me. And I think it's just, I don't know. It's just kind of directionless and kind of like they want you to park your brain at the door too much.
Oh, it's too bad.
I don't know. Jeez. There's moments though, like great sets. I'll bet that one of those clips they showed was Ryan Gosling on a toilet. Am I right?
Yes, they did show that one.
All right.
Yes, with the newspaper and the gun.
Trying to hold it and try to keep the door open and pick up a cigar, fell in his shorts and all that.
Yes.
It's a really funny scene and handled really well. And if the entire movie was made as well as that scene, it would have been a really great movie. Aww. But it's just kind of weirdly busted, man.
They also showed on the other night, they showed a scene with Ryan Gosling getting his arm broken, like in a scuffle with
Russell Crowe.
With Russell Crowe.
And that part's all right. It's
so they picked the two funniest parts.
Yeah. Well, and there and there are some other parts that are kind of funny. It's just there. I don't know. There are parts where you're like, this was not funny. Even in the, like, it feels like this weird throwback to 80s movies, but it's set in 77, but the setting doesn't really matter. So it ends up just feeling like dress up time.
Okay.
Like, you know how like in Boogie Nights, the look of it is so important. Like the 70s look of Boogie Nights is more important to Boogie Nights than almost anything else in the movie. Like the tone is set by the
setting. Yes, has to feel like a 70s movie. And thing with Linklater, Dazed and Confused.
Very good example. Yeah. Now this one looks, they have the right look, man. You walk in there and you go, oh, 1977, you've nailed it. It's perfect. And then it just doesn't matter that it's in 77. It could have been set anytime. Like, I don't know. I'm just sad about it.
There was a movie last year that I was.
Not for the kids, by the way. No, not for the kids. Keep going.
Not for the kids.
Oh,
okay.
My gosh.
Nudity or violence.
Lots of violence, lots of language, lots of nudity.
Okay.
Well, I shouldn't say lots. There's a number of breasticles are exposed.
Odd number or even number?
Let's see. When did I last see Total Recall? that was an odd number.
There was a movie last year, not a comedy, but it was a 70s cop drama that was shortlisted for the Oscars didn't make the nominations for the for Best Picture, but everyone was kind of expecting that it would, and I can't remember the name of it.
Oh, with the hair lip in it.
Yes. Right. It is. Yeah. Joaquin. Right.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Shite.
It's called.
I'm trying to see if I can find it before the chat room does.
It was. Oh, and it was written by that author everyone loves.
Yes.
Who did
Inherent Vice.
Inherent Vice. That's it.
That's the one. Oh, I guess 2 years ago. Holy cow. That was a 2014 film. Mm. I heard good things about that one. So if you maybe need your 70s cop fix, maybe that's the one to.
All right. I'll check that one out.
I don't know. It's on my list as soon as it's available on Netflix. I'm sure it's available disc wise on Netflix, but.
The acting, I'll say this, the acting's amazing. Everyone's mm-hmm. really great in it. Like, I don't have any problem with the people in it. The performances are great. The kid that plays his daughter's really good. Russell Crowe's, I like lumpy, old, angry Russell Crowe. He's great.
Sure, yeah. there's something to that.
There is something to it.
You're totally right, yes.
Yeah, all the ingredients are there. You know how sometimes you've just got all the stuff in your kitchen you need to make the best chocolate cake possible, but mm-hmm. when you finish, it's just kind of, that wasn't that great. It was okay. Like, there's something about the finished cake here that isn't that great. The ingredients are all awesome. So go see it on your own. Don't take my word for it, everybody. I just kind of walked away going.
So we went, or not went, but we rented or had sent to us, really, again, Netflix deal. Yeah. Nausicaä Valley of the Wind, which I hadn't seen before and is one of the earlier Miyazaki films.
Oh, I've not even heard of this one.
No, we hadn't either. It's like, it seems like it's one of the lesser known ones, but it got a facelift. It was originally released in 84 and then got a facelift, and the English version was released in 2005.
This isn't the one where the black creature eats furniture and throws it up, right?
No, that's Spirited Away. And I think that's easily my favorite of the bunch.
Yeah.
But so here's what's really cool about it. It combines your Battlestar Galactica, your Star Wars, and your Star Trek. Because you've got Patrick Stewart, Mark Hamill, and Edward James Olmos.
Really?
You know, basically two captains and an X-Wing pilot all doing voices in this thing. And actually, it was originally going to have Natalie Portman, too. So it would have had your double Star Wars.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't even know this existed. I want to see this.
I didn't either.
Now.
It's pretty good. Yeah. It's not my favorite of his movies, but it's early on and there is some really cool visuals in there. Oh yeah, it also has Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf there, eh?
Yeah, but I'm not going to say that it combines your Transformers in with your Star Wars, Star Trek, and Battlestar.
Does it have him? Does he run down a hall yelling no, 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 no?
He does not. I kept waiting for that, but no.
Darn it.
He does not.
Okay. Does he tell you to do it? Does he say, just do it?
He never does. This is 2005 pre-what the heck is going on with Shia LaBeouf territory.
All right. So he's not in a cage match with a little girl on his shoulders?
No, okay. No.
All right.
More Sia. That's our second Sia reference, and we've only been on Skype for 25 minutes.
I'm telling you, everything's coming up Sia this year.
All roads lead to Sia.
That's right. She's great. You introduced me to Sia, by the way, like years ago when nobody knew who she was. You were playing some songs, and I went, oh, my gosh, this woman.
I smuggled in a video when we were doing the Frog Pants All-Stars thing a couple years back. I smuggled in a video to as my test screen for Keynote. I was like, let's put this one up just so I can get kind of a test. And I was like, let's leave the video up the whole time. But it was really my way of like showing the You've Changed video by Sia, which I think was brilliant. It came out before she had all the success with Chandelier and Titanium and all this stuff.
Chandelier. You guys missed the success we had with Chandelier before the show.
we had six-part harmony between the two of us.
It was incredible, and you'll never know because it's lost to the wind. It's gone.
It's gone, and it's covered with a huge black and white wig.
I have a quick shout-out I would like to give to a dude. So I don't know his name, and that's part of the problem here, and I wish I knew your name, dude. But my daughter was in a photo place where she rents lenses for her photo work she does. So occasionally she'll need like special lenses and she'll rent them there for her photo
shoots.
Oh,
that's totally cool. Didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, totally. And so she'll rent these lenses that work on her Canon and she'll take it to these weddings she gets hired for and all that stuff. She's killing it, by the way. Stuff looks amazing. Anyway, so she's doing all this stuff and she goes in to pick one up. She says to the person, hey, I'm here to pick up one for Taylor Straw. Is it here? And they went, hold on, we'll check. And then somebody says, hold on a second. Taylor Strauss? She goes, yep. She goes, is your dad Scott Johnson by chance? And she goes, yeah, he is. And then he goes, oh my gosh, I listen to the Instants and TMS and blah, blah, blah. So there's this guy there who listens to this show now, who's hearing us now, whose name I don't know because she forgot to, or she didn't think to ask him his name. So dude, who I don't know yet, who apparently met my daughter, by the way, thanks for being so nice to Taylor. He was super nice to her. And secondly, I got a pair of tickets for the movies for you there, buddy, to go see the Warcraft movie if you want to go.
Oh, as you said, to go see Nice Guys.
No, hell yeah. I'm not putting you through that. I mean, you may like it. I don't know. But for Warcraft on June 11th, I'm going to hold two seats
for this dude. Oh, way cool.
And his chosen companion, because he was so nice to my daughter. And there's a long other story about how we helped her out. But anyway, just want to say hi.
Congratulations, Mystery Dude.
Mystery Dude. You are today's mystery dude of the day. Finally, the podcast awards were announced yesterday. We were having a little fun at Todd Cochran's expense at the top of the show. We love Todd, and we think he does a fine job.
Yes.
He says things like
the jizz whiz.
Anyway, so I think
that didn't quite work.
I think that may be more of an indicator of how he says GIF instead of, or says GIF instead of GIF.
Oh, yes, right.
Think of that, because yes. It had a G, right?
I wonder if Todd Cochran's favorite website is Gizmodo.
It might be. Mm-hmm. I wonder what his favorite show is.
This show is so gay.
All right. Again, out of context, that stuff is gold. So I was annoyed because they're making, if you win these things, you got to buy your own trophy.
Mm-hmm.
That seems really weird to me. That's like, and the winner for best picture is Saving Private Ryan, Steven Spielberg, directing and producing. Thanks, everybody. I need to go to the store now and buy my statue.
Here is a coupon for 10% off your trophy.
So that's weird.
It is. I mean, it's, you know, basically it's an indication that that Todd needs sponsors or needs, you know.
Todd needs money.
Todd needs to actually find a better producer of trophies because, you know, when we... And I still need to talk to sales geek about this, but when we did the when we got our winnings for the last couple of years, mm-hmm. you know, they only give you one trophy, and for TMS, I feel like, you know, we need two, right?
Sure,
maybe even, you know, 3, 4, 5, one for each of our co-hosts. And we were looking into prices of getting replacement trophies, and for the prices he was quoting, which is about $250 if you want the small trophy, and $400 or something if you want the large.
Yeah.
We were able to, you know, get trophies, and granted, they're not that iPod on its corner with an RSS thing popping out of the top.
You know, like 2006,
Exactly. Yep. They're the ones that I like, which are kind of like the monolith style.
Sure, I like those.
And we were getting them for a fraction of that price.
Yeah, like $50, $60.
Exactly.
Something like that. So I don't know where he was getting those. Maybe it's all Hawaii, and Hawaii, everything's expensive.
It could be. It certainly could be, yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you who you need to stop buying those from, Todd.
Gilbert Gottfrieds.
All right, so here's...
Gilbert Gottfrieds.
So here's the thing, though. We, just to reiterate, we are not eligible for an award this year. Neither us, nor FilmSack, nor The Instance, nor any of the shows that have won in the past that I've won. Yeah. And I've got stacks of trophies over there for every show that's ever won, and none of them can win again because we are considered, quote-unquote, legacy podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which makes no sense from a timeline standpoint. You could have a show that's 15 years old, and if it's never been nominated, it's not a legacy podcast. But because mine haven't, and let's say one of those shows is only a year old, it's a legacy podcast because it won. It makes right. no sense to me. But whatever. I get it. They just want to make room for new blood. It's all because Brian went up 6 times to get a trophy and a hat.
I think it is. I think it's...
You're the reason, dude. Like my favorite award, my favorite trophy from all of this is knowing that. Like
we broke the podcast.
We broke the awards by winning, sweeping in every category, and having Brian be the only physical body there that could pick him up, so it looked like there was some kind of conspiracy going on. That alone, worth all the trouble. Everything about this, worth it, because we made the whole thing change.
We pulled the curtain down and showed that the Emperor had no clothes, basically, is what we did.
Yep. But here's my only problem with last night is the whole point of that was they were going to make a big deal about legacy podcasts. Mm-hmm. Like, all right, well, all these guys are legacy, and that's why, and this is why they're cool, and congratulations, and now we're on to the new blood. Not a single mention of it. Not one at all. Nothing. And what was the other thing I was going to say? Oh, and then we for about 30 minutes, everyone got yelled at for having bad websites.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, I'm going to defend that because I think that to you and me, it's not as important. Although, you know, maybe there are some things that I probably could take away from that. Like, oh, yeah, I don't really have I should just have a big old RSS button right on the front of Coverville or an iTunes button. But the average podcaster, and there's, you know, we're award winners. Scott, we're People's Choice winners. Well,
we're legacy now, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're standing at the top of this mountain, and we're looking down. I'm kidding, but I mean, there. You know, the average podcaster does need to know this thing. Like, all right, yeah, if you don't have a way right from the homepage where somebody can click a play button and start hearing the show, and not have to go scroll down list of episodes, click an episode, then go to that page and listen. I think that there are some things we can learn from that. So I'm going to defend.
I'm not. I'm going to say, yeah, if your website sucks, it sucks. It's got nothing to do with whether your show is any good or not.
Oh, no. It has nothing to do with whether your show's not any good.
Whole point. It's like saying, all right, y'all, congratulations. Okay, we're at the county fair. Good job, everybody. All your hogs in the competition look good. Everyone's pig looks good. But I'm going to take a moment and talk about chicken pen sanitation.
No. Because they rate that your nomination in the podcast awards isn't just solely based on a little audio clip. It is based on your whole website appearance and delivery and stuff. So
your nomination is based on you spending $10 to get in. That's what it's based on this year.
That certainly does.
I know what you're saying, and I don't think you're wrong. I think, you know, trying to aim high for their standards of how easily your show is accessible. I think that's all great. I have no problem with any of that. But we just got lectured for half an hour. And when I say I don't mean me, because we're not eligible because we're legacy shows.
Right. The best part of that whole thing for me, though, was Todd saying, well, we've got all these numbers here and these percentages and if you want a copy of them, just email me. Why not just maybe put them on a website, Todd? Why are you inviting yourself, giving out your email address to say, well, if you want these numbers, every podcaster is going to want those numbers.
Yeah. Not only that, you say you're just talking about reliable web standards.
Right. Putting information out where it needs to be front and center so that people don't have to go digging around for the information they want. And you're asking people to email you.
Yeah. We've got one piece of data that you should have in one place so that many can access it. Not 50 people asking for it 50 different times on 50 different email replies. I'm not being picky here. I'm just saying.
Bearded fruit.
All right, let's move on. Bearded
fruit. Well, hold on. A couple more things I want to say about this.
All right.
Hypothetical help, current geek.
Oh, yeah, I did get nominated for that.
You're nominated for those.
Yeah, because I paid 10 bucks. I paid 10 bucks. Yeah. So I may as well get it. Yeah.
I'm nominated for Breaking the Panel and From the Helicarrier.
From the Helicarrier.
Uh-huh. Yes, which I think Breaking the Panel's up against. We have concerns. So there's another fierce intranetwork battle here.
Yep.
But I found out this morning, right before we were doing the show, that I've been nominated for, Coverville's been nominated for the Academy of Podcasting Award. Which I didn't have to pay 10 bucks for.
Nope.
I don't think I'll have to pay anything if I win to get a trophy. and it's also not voting, right? So it's basically done by an academy. But the problem is that now I've got to find a 5-minute segment of Coverville to submit to them for judging. And it's like, all right, the show's music, right? It's like,
oh yeah, that's weird.
I don't want to send them a song. I feel like,
here's the Beatles cover of that's a weird request for that kind of show.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. So I've got to figure out like a song and then information after that song combo that works. Cause I think I don't want to send just talk, cause the talk is going to be, all right, what you just heard is da 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 da. And that, you know, here's information about that song. And it's gotta be a combo of the two. So now I've got to go back and listen to, a bunch of stuff. Anyway.
So there you have it. This year's podcast awards It's hot and heavy.
Gilbert Gottfried.
All right, moving on. Let's move on. Let's move on to, oh, I know what. Let's play a game. Listen, you guys need to call in. This is your way to earn some stuff. Today you have prizes on the line. So you want to call in and be a part of Stump Daryl today? 801-895-4724. That's 801-895-4724. I will take our absolute first caller. And you'll get the skinny. You'll tell us how you think Daryl's going to do. And then we're going to call Daryl. And then we're going to play a little game with him.
Crazy.
I know.
That's crazy talk.
I know. It is crazy. Everything I've said makes no sense. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this? Hello? Hello?
Waiting for the... That doesn't sound like a microphone.
Hello?
Hello. Oh, hi. Who's this?
Hey, there we go.
Hello.
This is Guido of the Tadpool.
Hey, man. Well, it's nice
to
have you here.
Guido of the Tadpool.
Where do you come from?
The... Pacific Northwest, Seattle.
Ah, the Pacific Northwest, the land of, I don't know. What's going on up there?
Daryl, the land of Daryl.
The land of Daryl. Oh, that's right. This is legal. We can do this, right? Since it's okay if he
lives near
him.
As long as these two aren't, you're not related in any way to Daryl, right?
Right.
Not that I know of.
Yeah. Okay. I think that part of the world's famous for its bounteous crop every year of...
Bearded fruit.
And bearded men who climb trees and throw fruit.
That's right. And Daryl. All right. We're gonna play our little game here. You know how this works. If you you guess based on the topic Brian's going to give you that Daryl's going to get it right or wrong, you get to choose that now. And then when we bring him in, you get to sort of steer him in that direction any way you see fit. Brian,
exactly
what's
right.
What's our deal and what's our prizes?
Sure. Our category today is, actually, I'm going to tell you what you can win today first because that cuts down the time. You can win today a Norwegian CD along with stickers and stuff from Scott Johnson and a download code for the album from Metric, courtesy of Iceworm.
Ooh.
So you get instant stuff and you get stuff in the mail if you win today.
Very cool.
That sounds
very cool.
That sounds all right.
Your category today is a movie that actually just celebrated a 30-year anniversary, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off. They just celebrated. They had a parade in Chicago over the weekend and recreated the whole twist and shout.
Shake it up, baby, now.
German float dance thing. Yeah.
Did they really? Wow. Did they have somebody in his stupid sweater thing? And
they did. They had a leopard, the cheetah print vest with
that's great.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have seen that.
You can probably find it on YouTube.
Yeah. Did they actually have the guy who played Ferris Bueller actually, was he there? Was he actually doing
well,
the
dance? Well, I don't know if Matthew Broderick was there, but the dude on the float looked enough like him that you could say, oh, he's trying to be Ferris Bueller.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Plus, you don't want, I mean, Matthew Broderick's in his 50s now.
Right.
So
I don't know if he can still dance.
That's weird. it's just a little weird. Although I would have liked to have seen it.
Being as old as he is,
he played.
He might need a cane.
Did he play? He played Pumbaa, didn't he? No, not Pumbaa.
Yes.
Wait.
Rafiki.
No, who's the tiger or the lion? The lion is Pumbaa.
Simba.
It
was
God
the older
dang
version
it.
Of Simba.
We did it again. Oh my gosh! I can't believe I did that again. All right. So what do you think? How do you think Daryl's going to do?
I'll go with it. He'll get it right.
Okay. I think he's a fan of the movie, that is.
It's a classic. You know?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
I mean,
you have to be a fan of that movie.
I don't know.
Me?
I don't know any generation who's not into it. Everybody loves Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And if they don't, well, they're no friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Daryl in and do what we got to do with him. Here you go.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today, and I can't even identify why.
It's time for Stump Daryl. It's a chance for us to try to pick at the brain of a strange man from Seattle. His name is Daryl Skills, and he's on the line now. Hello, Daryl.
Hello.
What's going on? How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay, good. Did you see the new Star Trek Beyond trailer?
Oh yeah, that was way better than the last one.
Yeah, it gives me hope.
This agreed.
Very
yeah.
exploratory, very Star Trek-y, very I don't know who they're fighting stuff going on. I like that. It doesn't look like just a rehash of something. But I will say this. Once again, as the stereotype demands, the Enterprise appears to be being destroyed at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it does.
Do we have to do it every time?
We need better shield technology.
Jeez. It's just starting to lose its power when you blow it up every time.
Yeah, it's a trope now.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't like it. I think they should stop doing that. But it looks really good to me, and that's a way better trailer and way more indicative of, I don't know, the point of Star Trek. So,
yeah. Hey, Scott.
Yeah.
Did you know that this segment was brought to you by the audio version of Where's the Next Shelter?
Brian, tell me more about it.
I will. 2 years ago this week, Garmachi from the Tadpool spent 5 months on the Appalachian Trail climbing mountains, hiding from bears, and stepping over rattlesnakes. Then he wrote a book about it. You guys helped to make this happen, and now you can hear the adventure narrated by the moth storyteller, Gary Sizer. Go to iTunes or Audible and search for Where's the Next Shelter today.
All right.
The Jizz Whiz.
Sounds good to me. Thank you for that. Daryl, are you ready to meet your, not your nemesis, your
dude, maker?
Your maker. he is also Guido from that part of the world. And lives right near you, so I don't know if you guys know each other or not, but he's here to either help or hinder you. You don't know which, because you didn't listen, right? Right?
That's right.
Okay.
Nice, good.
Okay. What's his topic, Brian?
His category is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, all right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just had a 30-year anniversary. Mm-hmm. Don't take my dad's car.
Love that movie.
Let my Cameron go. All right. Here is your question. Everyone ready? Guido, you good? You still there?
Oh, I'm still here. I'm ready.
All right, sweet. Here you go. In the clip-clop, in Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Ferris and his homies, as Iceworm put it, go to a Chicago Cubs game. What team are the Cubs playing against in this scene? Okay, so what team are they playing against? Was it the Cubs versus A, the San Francisco Giants, B, the New York Mets, C, the Atlanta Braves, or D, the Colorado Rockies?
Or as he put it, the Colorado Rockies.
The Colorado Rockies.
It's only his home state.
I wish you lived in Colorado.
Colorado.
Colorado is a cool name.
Colorado.
Colorado.
Master of the 14th dimension.
That's right. Zontar, let Colorado do it. All right, so that's San Francisco Giants, these New York Mets, the Atlanta Braves, or the Colorado Rockies. So those are your options. I want you to think on those real hard. By the way, we have some rad, gross food coming to us.
Oh, good. Rad and gross.
Yep. Some listeners said they're gross. And I said, great. Send the gross. We're happy to do it. As long as it's not thick and liquid, Brian will do it.
Exactly.
It'll all be fine. So, Daryl, what do you think? What do you want to do? And Guido, you got any tips there for Daryl?
I don't remember this part of the movie, unfortunately. But I know it's not the Rockies. They weren't around.
Yeah, they didn't exist then, did they? That was my feeling when I read the question. Yeah.
That was my first thought, too.
When the Rockies are how old, Brian? Do you know?
23 years?
Yeah.
25 years? 23?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Is there an NBA team called the Dolphins now?
NBA?
Yeah.
No, not to my knowledge.
The other day, somebody was telling me about somebody getting drafted to the Dolphins. And I said,
well, there's football.
Well, yeah, I know that, course, but it was a basketball draft. I don't know.
Maybe a AAA farm league or something?
Maybe, yeah. No, that's a good point. It could have been that. Or one of those weird, like, international tour teams that gets the NBA sort of picks out of if they need somebody.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was SeaWorld.
It definitely wasn't. It wasn't Miami. It wasn't NFL. I'm sure of that, chat room. Anyway, doesn't matter. It was a dumb thing I heard, and I don't even know why I brought it up.
Okay.
Well, did a team draft a dolphin?
Could be it.
Yes.
Our new center.
New center. Do you have anything to say about this fantastic moment? All right. Let's never do that again. What are we going to do? Oh, Daryl. Okay, go ahead. So what do you think?
Okay.
So he doesn't know. He doesn't remember this scene. And neither do I, to be honest. And I love that
really?
Movie. Yeah.
They're at the baseball park and they're... you know, Ferris catches a ball and it goes swing bada. He can swing bada.
No, I remember all that, but I don't remember the team at all. Like,
oh yeah,
zero memory.
I don't think.
Yeah, I'm gonna narrow it down to Mets and Braves.
Okay. All right,
that's I'm what kicking, I was thinking.
Yeah, I'm kicking Rockies out because right. They probably weren't. Well, maybe that's the answer. Maybe that's to make us think that they weren't around, but they really were.
Oh. Kind of like Back to the Future having the. The Florida team winning the World Series? Mm-hmm. Marty, you're crazy.
Marty.
No, Daryl. Okay. They're not around.
I am steered away from that.
Gosh, I wonder if you can use that information to predict whether or not Guido thinks we're going to get this right or not.
Yeah, that was amazing. Totally legal. Oh. Like, but everything that's happening is legal, by the way. Nothing's wrong with that at all.
Well, maybe it is the Rockies then. He's trying to steer me because he knows that it is the Rockies. Oh. And he said I'd get the answer wrong.
Maybe.
Oh. No. I don't think that's the case.
See, this is why people say, oh, this is too easy because the minute the person says something, you know where he's trying to direct you. I'm like, no, not so much. I think it's
not so much. There's a whole extra layer of potential confusion. Yeah,
there's a layer if you use it.
Yeah, that's right. Always use the extra layer. It's got wings.
All right. I'm gonna say it's not the Giants because every time we record This Week in Trek, Mike is wearing a Giants shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why that means anything.
I don't either. Okay. I don't know what that means at all.
Mets are Braves.
Mets are Braves. Starts to sound weird. Mets are Braves.
Mets are Braves.
I'm leaning towards the Mets.
Are you?
Bearded Fruit.
Yeah.
All right. Listening to him go through the LGBT category and the mature category was a treat.
Yes.
Because he just tries to be so straight-faced about it.
Yes.
I love it. Anyway. Oh, congratulations to Abby. One of her podcasts got...
The Diary of a Trans Woman.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. Which is a little bit like Diary of a Cartoonist, but less cartoony and more transy.
Way more transy.
Mm-hmm. Congrats, Abby. That's awesome. That's what I'm voting for. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah. Let's see. What you say.
What am I going to do? Okay, I guess I'll say Mets because I don't know why.
Because, all right, well, hey, look, that sounds better.
Because Guido says to do Mets, and anytime anybody named Guido tells you to do something, you do it.
Wow. That's a very good point.
That's a really good point. All right, can we now hear from the judges whether that is correct or not, and then we'll find out if that's what you were meant to say. Here we go. Is it? It is incorrect. The answer is the Atlanta Braves.
Yes, your other 50%er.
And you know what that means? Ah, crap. I did it again. No, I have it. It's on the thing. I really did get it. Wait, did I? Oh, here it is.
So you get nothing. You lose.
There it is. I see.
Put it right next to Howard Dean on your little soundboardy deal.
All right. That's what I'll do. Deal. Daryl, well done. You blew it, and it's not your fault because he whatever. It was an easy mistake to make. Don't worry about it. Don't stress about it.
You were close. You were very close.
If he wouldn't have steered me there, I probably would have picked Braves.
Oh, really? Well, so there you go. You were the
architect of your own demise, Guido.
Here's the cool thing about it: it was from an actual game. Some people have determined the game took place on June 5th, 1985, between the Cubs and Braves. Also, the Rockies did not exist until '93. Here is a clip of the scene that we're talking about.
I think I broke my thumb.
Hey, bada 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 bada, so wing bada. Hey, bada 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 bada, so wing bada. Kennedy, 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 so wing bada.
Dude, this is so weird. I kind of just want to watch it.
Alan Ruck, ladies and gentlemen.
Alan Ruck, that guy's awesome. He was awesome. He was in Speed. Remember, he was in Speed?
Yes, that's right. He was the tourist.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see Chicago or wherever it takes place.
I don't remember. L.A. or something. Anyway, Daryl, terrible job. Tomorrow, somebody will get be able to possibly win a Norwegian CD, stickers and stuff, and the Metric album, and a third thing we'll add.
Mm-hmm.
The prize pool only grows when they lose. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can find him there and at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. He will now do something with us, which is a little Google thing that we do. So we'll give it to us. What do you got there?
Yes, I am going to read part of a query that I've entered into Google. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
All right, here's your theme.
Yeah, I want to order one of them jerk shirts so I can fillet a fish in public.
There you go. That's it.
Okay, why can't I own blank?
Why can't I own slaves?
Oh man, why can't I own slaves?
The views of our guests do not reflect the opinions and views of the host of the show.
Not at all. Okay, why can't I own
Major Tupper? Jesus, cover.
What? why? Yeah, I mean, it really did escalate quickly. Why can't I own? Man, this is a hard one.
Yeah,
because I just feel like there's a trillion things. Okay, why can't I own?
And this is brought to you by Linky McScott's, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Oh, cool.
Why can't I own my own house? This is going to be my answer. Even though you can, but yeah, it feels like a thing somebody would ask. What would you say, Brian?
I already threw my
answer. You're doing, you're keeping slaves?
I'm sticking with slaves because I feel like if somebody, you know, is looking for a book report, they want to do like a kid like doing like an essay on slavery.
Yeah.
Might start there.
Yeah. A kid would say, that's like a good point, actually. That's not bad. Because he would say, oh, why can't I own slaves? Like,
you know, that's like a question on somebody's test, on somebody's history test.
Yeah.
In one sentence, explain why you can't own slaves. Well, I don't know. Click, Google, why can't I own slaves?
Mom, why is the FBI in the front yard? All right. So go ahead, Daryl. We don't know. We think those two are possible, but where are we?
Okay. Here? The number one autocomplete thing is, why can't I own a Canadian?
What?
What? A Canadian?
A Canadian.
Number three is, why can't I own a Mexican?
Wow. What's number two?
A tank. Three is, or four is an owl, and the fifth is a sloth. So, but the Canadian.
So animals and.
All right. So I just look, why can't I own a Canadian? Humanists of Utah. Okay. Why can't I own a Canadian? Rational Wiki. Dear Laura, why can't I own a Canadian? Does the Bible say I can own a Canadian? I hope.
Okay. So. Then I want partial points then for this.
Okay. Feels like, yeah, you owning a Canadian or a Mexican is a tantamount to slavery.
Right, yes.
You know what? Brian gets partial points. I'm ruling it.
Canadians and slaves are close enough to the same thing.
Yeah, of course, yes. You can own an Italian, apparently.
Oh, hey. No. All right, then. Sounds okay to me. Bye, Daryl.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
News brought to you by...
My wife has been geeking out on yoga for the past 20 years and has now decided to pursue a career as a yoga therapist. She's beginning a 2-year program this June and would love support from her fellow geeky yogis, yogi, or, you know, guys or yo girls,
yeah.
Yogis of the world, tinyurl.com/yogajess.
I wish they were called yogurts.
Yogurts.
You know?
Yo guys and yo girls.
Comes with a free frogurt. All right, we have very little time, so I'm going to run through these. Ryan Gosling, hunky, handsome man, Ryan Gosling, once had the weirdest Turkish massage ever.
Mm.
But he wanted to de-stress, so he had some back trouble. He ended up a little tense after a mouthful of hairy belly. What's that?
No, that's what happened in his massage. He got a mouthful of hairy belly.
Oh, gross. This is gone.
I loved her in Swordfish, by the way. Hairy belly.
Well, I mean, she won that award in Monster Ball or whatever, and then it just never really happened.
Yeah, and her Razzie for Catwoman. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well. That's all right. We think
she was great as Storm, though.
We think hairy belly will make a comeback. The father of two recounted the bizarre tale on the Graham Norton show, you know, the one with the weird laugh track. Enhanced audience sounds.
Right, yes.
Which aired in the United Kingdom on Friday night. Quote, had an awful experience, says Gosling, who was promoting his new movie, The Nice Guys, along with co-star Russell Crowe. He said the male masseur took one of his legs and arm and tried to connect them behind his back. But it all went downhill from there. As he was doing this, his belly went in my mouth. Oh, I can't read that.
Why do you have your mouth open?
I don't know. Close your mouth, Ryan Gosling. And when you have something strange in your mouth, your brain sends your tongue to figure out what it is. Gosling asked, my tongue was like, what is that? It's a hairy belly. It was traumatic. You think? I've been traumatized reading this.
Yeah.
Oh, moving on. I'm out of that story.
I'm not going for the whole Turkish massage or a Turkish delight.
No, you have Turkish blood, right? Or
no Turkish blood. Hungarian.
Hungarian. I always get mixed up because I'm always hungry for turkey. So I always mix them up.
Unless it's got a lot of grease.
A mysterious voice turned out to be a guy in a chimney.
Of course, yeah.
Do your friends, family, or significant other make fun of you when you freaked out by odd sounds in the night? Well, show them this story. Brad Sapp That's a horrible name. Thought he heard a mysterious voice whisper, "Get out of here," in the wee hours of Wednesday morning. You know, when the ghosts come out on Wednesday morning.
Yes, Wednesdays are prime ghost time.
Yeah. When he was sorting cans at the Redemption Center he owns in Carroll, Iowa, the Daily Times reports, quote, "I honestly thought I was going crazy," he told the Huffington Post. His wife, Carrie, teased him that the voice must have been a ghost, but 9 hours later, around 10 a.m., she received a... Wait, 9 hours later. What was it 9 hours before that? That's not wee hours of the morning. That's...
Yeah, right. That would be...
Late last night. That would have been
10
like...
a.m. Well, no, no, no. 9 hours later was 10 a.m. So yeah. It was 1 a.m. that he was in the wee hours.
Was that 9 hours before?
Yes. He said, but 9 hours later, around 10 a.m.,
yeah, that should have received. Well, bitch, that should have been. Oh, was that 1 a.m.? Okay. That still feels like night to me. I guess it's morning, technically. Anyway, she received a scare of her own when she heard a man yelling for help inside the center's chimney. The guy, there's a photo of him on the thing if you click the link. Yeah, he was hiding. He
climbed in the chimney, got stuck.
There's a homeless
guy. So he was probably not saying, "Get out of here." He was saying,
"Get
me
out
of here."
He was saying, "Hold the door." That's all I'll say about
it. Okay.
Did you see Game of Thrones last night?
I did not see all of it. No,
shite!
We got through half of it, and I had to go raid.
Oh, Brian.
So we're watching the rest of it tonight.
You don't know what you've missed.
Oh, no. I haven't missed it. I just haven't seen it yet. I guess that might be missing it.
I just keep the door shut. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, jeez.
It's not a spoiler. Reporter has been accused of pooping on the lawn while on the job.
Hmm.
"Hello, ma'am. I'm here for the Daily News. Excuse me for a minute."
This just out.
Yeah. "Bill, I'm on the street." Police arrested this Low in Goodyear. What? Oh, I guess the guy's name is Low. Low in Goodyear, Arizona. Goodyear, Arizona. My name ain't Goodyear, Arizona. After he allegedly pooped on the lawn belonging to a criminal suspect whose story he was covering for the station, Lowe chose to use the front yard of a residence to relieve himself. Goodyear Police Department spokeswoman Lisa Kudis told the Phoenix Times, quote, "An onlooker from across the street called it in to the officers. They approached him and he said he had to relieve himself and they arrested him." A website focused on the news media managed to get a photo of the arrest and they carted the guy off. So he pooped on the lawn there.
That's horrible. Like, are there no...
He must have really had to go.
7-Eleven around the corner in Goodyear, Arizona? I mean...
He must have really had to go.
I guess, you don't want to miss the story. It's like, oh, this guy could be coming out of his house anytime now.
Yep, and this guy's coming out of its house right now, so...
He could be prairie dogging out of his house at any moment.
I think he's crowning. He's crowning. Finally, in the news, Justin Bieber.
That guy's tired of getting sent on shit assignments.
No, they're the worst job, just shit jobs.
Yeah.
His life's a real poop show. Justin Bieber.
Bieber.
Bieber. Had won the award for top male artist at the 2016 Billboard Music Awards. That happened last night, I guess. Right? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it was last night.
Did you watch any of that?
Didn't watch any of that.
Okay,
no.
Well, it's a music thing.
The finale of Fear the Walking Dead, then we watched Game of Thrones, the first half of Game of Thrones, and then I went to Raid.
All right. Raid. Oh, did you heard Raid. Civ quit? Wow, did you hear
about
this?
Yeah, until Legion, yeah.
Oh, was that
actually
deal?
Until the pre-event.
Oh, gotcha.
He's just going to be doing a lot of touring with Brother Wild and stuff, so it made the most sense.
I think he's going to be doing a lot of playing with Reinhardt.
I think Overwatch is probably going to be taking him a lot more of his time.
Hey, Civ, take the front with Reinhardt. Put your shield up.
A huge congratulations is in order for Justin Bieber. Now, I want to read you the tone of this post. I think they may be a little biased towards Justin Bieber. And you tell me if you get the feeling or not when I finish reading this.
Okay. Like maybe it was written by his publicist?
Maybe. Or someone who just really likes him. So here we go. A huge congratulations as an order for Justin Bieber, who just snagged the Billboard thingy Top Male Artist Award. The Biebs has worked so hard in the past year between releasing his wildly successful album.
Far and wide.
And starting his world tour. Scott.
This is how you use Clippy.
And says he's seriously on top of the world right now. Justin just got up on stage to accept his award and made the cutest acceptance speech ever. He said, yeah. Thank you to my family. I want to thank God, and I want to thank everyone that believed in me. Aw, this just goes to show how much he really does love and appreciate his believers.
Yes, this is...
I hate it.
So this is... J14 is the website.
Yeah.
And it, the first thing that happens when you click on the link for J14 is you get a pop-up box that says, how old are you? Under 13 or 13 or older?
Oh, wow.
So that should kind of...
I must have had a pop-up blocker for that because I didn't see that.
So, yes.
J14. What, a girl named Janice, is who's 14, runs the site or what?
Yeah, you know, exactly. You know how it's a teen celebrity magazine. But yeah. You know how, like, on most websites, your menu across the top is... news, world news, opinions, sports, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. At the top of J14, your menus are One Direction, Justin Bieber, Taylor Swift, Selena Gomez, and Ariana Grande.
Well, they must know. I bet they just know their audience, you know?
Yes.
Like you're like the Tiger Beat of the day.
This is exactly what it is. It's E Tiger Beat.
Great. Bieber.
Or I Tiger Beat.
Well, anyway, congratulations to him. And apparently Celine Dion... cried on stage or something.
Well, her husband died recently.
Oh, was that the deal?
Yeah.
Oh,
Renee
Zellweger.
Yeah, it's Renee Zellweger was Celine Dion's husband. Yes. Whatever it is, Renee, whatever. That's not Aubergenois or whatever. He's not Odo. But yeah, he passed away.
I shouldn't laugh. Someone died.
Say January. Maybe?
Okay. All right. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. So this is her first public appearance.
I'm Canadian.
All right, everybody. Hey, quick moment to talk to you about our friends at HelloFresh.com. HelloFresh.com, a service I use and love. The meals I get from HelloFresh.com are better than anything I could ever make on my own, and that is the freaking truth. And it equals, I should say rival, so I don't get in trouble, but honestly, it equals whatever my wife makes. And she's an amazing cook. HelloFresh is the meal delivery kit service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. If there's one thing we need in this world, it's more convenience. 30 minutes or so to make these things. They're recipes that are set up that anybody can do this stuff. 30 minutes or less. They resource the freshest ingredients, measure the exact quantities. There's never any food waste. It just freaking works, man. Come straight to your door in a special insulated box. They've teamed up with us to offer you guys a deal. Save some money on your first week's deliveries. $40 off. That's a chunk of change. That's a bunch of money. $40 off when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code TMS05. That's TMS05. All one word. TMS05 and get $40 off your first week of deliveries. That's HelloFresh. Oh my gosh, you guys. You guys need to eat like me. And that includes eating HelloFresh, and it includes doing it right now. And you're not going to regret it. HelloFresh.com for more. And thanks. I can't wait to see the light. I'm born again tonight. All right, it's break time. When we come back, it will be time for Major Spoilers and V for Video Games. But before all of that, we need an injection. And that injection involves liquid music that Brian has brought.
Wow. All right, for sure. That's can't beat that. All right. We are keeping it going, people. We've actually heard from you, and you like the change to having an indie in the middle of the show and a cover at the end, so we're keeping it going. Your indie in the middle here, maybe that's the term for it, your indie in the middle, comes from a band called Hand of Hearts. They are a Nashville-based pop artist, and they just came out with a new single called Smoke. It is really cool. If these guys don't remind you of Daft Punk and OK Go, then there's something wrong with you. This is their brand new single entitled Smoke. It rocks, and you can find out more about them by going to soundcloud.com/handofhearts and put hyphens in between those, so hand-of-hearts or handofheartsmusic.com. check them out. Here's Hand of Hearts and Smoke.
Smoke wins.
Baby, I don't know if you're here tonight, but I'm burning up for you lately. And lately, I know you wanna try to fight, but that baby will rock you, baby. give me something. Don't leave, I know this never ends alright. I want you to love me, baby. Because you're walking the line between hot and bad in the line. I think I might just lose my mind. Because you're walking the line between hot and bad in the line. I think I might just lose my mind. I can't get enough of your chemical explosion.
This place. A gray tapering cylinder welded by iron rods and concrete to the key itself.
I'm not a big action figure.
The Morning Stream. I'll take you to Atlanta and you'll give me the cure.
That was Patrick, by the way.
I'm not a big action figure.
I'm not a big action
figure. He's not a big action figure. Well, yeah, okay.
We're talking about those super cool Overwatch action figure life-size things that have been showing up around the world. Have you seen pictures of those?
No, huh? No, the only one I've ever seen was the Tracer one that they've had at BlizzCon for the past couple of years.
Oh, no, these, I'm talking like, oh, you're going to love this.
Really?
Yeah. Hold on. Action figure. Okay. Giant. Here we go. Giant across the world. Okay. Found a link. I'm going to send it to you, Brian.
Send it to me. I'm going to let you finish.
I'll put it in the chat. You can click it there. Chat room, let's just take a look at this real quick. This is the giant Overwatch action figures that have been appearing around the world. It is literally a giant box.
Giant. Holy crap. That's awesome.
Yeah. Like literally a giant action figure in a box. And has all the pieces and parts, and it tells you what their special abilities are. And on the back, there's the descriptions. There's a Genji one that showed up somewhere. Paris,
oh,
it looks
like.
Look at
that.
Yeah.
Look. Oh, that is so damn cool.
I want these so bad. I mean, I want small ones, but I actually kind of want the giant ones.
Remember when Sharper Image, in addition to selling steaks, would also sell those giant Stormtroopers and Spider-Man life-size?
Yep.
Statues.
I always wanted that too. Never could afford it. It was always beyond the pale for me.
God, that's, you know, we'll be able to see these. They'll have them at BlizzCon for sure.
Oh, they better, dude.
Yeah.
I heard these were really expensive to make, so they better keep them.
Yeah, I don't, yeah.
But sure. How would you ship? Are you going to ship that? Like, how do you ship that?
Shipping crate.
A ship, really? Like, ship it? Just
ship it.
Just ship
it. Really ship it.
All right.
Like,
on
like,
a ship.
Just like it sounds.
All right.
Ship it.
Okay. I'm going to take your word for it.
Yes.
All right. Steven time. Schleicher time.
Schleicher time.
Schleicher time. Here's his thing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. One Steven Schleicher. Hello, Steven.
Hello.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good.
Well, that is fantastic. I feel like we haven't talked to you in a while, but I guess it's only been a week.
It's only been a week. Yeah, it's weird.
It's not too bad. You've been busily doing things and hanging around and having stuff go on, right?
Yeah.
Did you?
That's what I always do. I'm busy all the time.
Yeah, you always got stuff going on. Did you? What was the thing I was going to ask you about? Gosh dang it! What was it? It was all in my mind right before I called you. Ah!
It was about playing Overwatch.
No, it was a nerdy thing.
Well, was it about holding the door?
No. Oh, okay.
Damn
dude,
it!
Holding
Stop
the
it,
door.
You two.
I didn't watch. I didn't watch that either.
So. Oh, you didn't. Okay.
Okay, they're good.
He's not. But he's a non-spoiler.
You can't get on Twitter in the morning without being inundated.
Yeah, it's kind of hard.
With everybody
too, on Mondays. I'll just say this though: season six is really killing it. Mm-hmm. It is so good. It is the best. It's some of the best they've ever done. I'm more in now than I've ever been. All right, I don't remember, so I'll try to think of it. But okay. Steven comes on the show, talks about nerdy pop culture-y stuff, comic books, movies, TV, whatever's going on. And he's got this finger, this big old finger right on the pulse, just boom, 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 right under his finger all the time.
Yeah.
So that we always know what's happening, and it's always good to have you on. Let's talk about DC changing its logo again.
Again. It's funny because they've even done this since we've been doing TMS.
Yeah, yeah, 2012, right?
Yes.
Wasn't it 2012 that they last changed it?
So the iconic logo that everybody knows is the DC with the four stars. That was in 1976.
Yeah.
They changed it in 2005 to the DC with the star swirl, but they got in trouble with that with DC shoes and had to pay out a lot of money for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
For a copyright infringement. Yeah. So then in 2012, with the new 52 launch, they did the yogurt cup peelback DC logo, which I thought, you know, now that we're 2016, 4 years into it, I kind of see how they've incorporated it into all their products and everything. And it works really well. But yeah. With the rebirth that's launching this week on May 25th, they have gone back and changed the logo once again. Mm-hmm. And the logo, I guess the closest thing that I can compare it to is the 1972 logo, mm-hmm. which was basically a kind of a block DC text inside of a circle, just a plain circle. Mm-hmm. And this one's kind of evocative of that. It's got a little bit of a swish tail in some of the corners that kind of reminds me of the Johnny DC character that they had kind for of, a while, yeah, for the kids line. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of the top part of the C, but okay, whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on there, right? Yeah. Like it looks like if you flip this over, people would say, oh, it's DG.
Yeah, that is kind of an upside down G, isn't it?
Some people say it's a UFO landing on Titan's tower.
Uh-oh. Doodle-doodle-doodle-doodle.
Wow, that seems like a stretch, but okay.
They announced this.
Sorry, I had to play that.
They announced this last week, and they'd already started incorporating it. From the time they announced it, all their social media switched over to the new logo. They did some live press event stuff where the banners, the backdrops all had the new DC logo. And against the white background, it looks really cool. It'll be interesting to see how it appears on the comic books, if they're going to put it in a white rectangle or a white square, or as we've seen a lot of people doing it, they are knocking out the color and using it as a mat for something underneath, like Wonder Woman, like, or Batman or something like that.
Kind of like what they did with the I like the term, by the way, the yogurt top pullback.
Yeah, with the C, yeah.
Right, and doing that by, you know, using that as a mat to show things. It's, mm-hmm. I don't know, I'm going to miss that one. I kind of like the peel away logo because it felt like...
Yeah, but go back to 2012. Everybody was complaining about the peelback.
Yeah, everybody really didn't have a lot of love for that logo when it first appeared because they're like, oh, we're going to use this, and the logo will change depending on the product that we're pushing. So, like, if you watch the end of The Flash, you know, it's all orange, and it's got the Flash in behind the in the sea. And if you watch Supergirl, they've done the same thing. Mm-hmm. And they've done a really good job of incorporating that over the years and changing its color to match the style of whatever – DC Entertainment property. Is pushing at the time. Yeah, whatever the property is. So, yeah, it's going to be kind of missed. I don't miss the 2005 logo, although I popped onto a DC Universe Online over the weekend, and they still have that logo.
The swirl and the star on it?
The star swirl logo, yeah.
Okay, that's funny because the new one actually has, you know, that little cut into the top of the D and the top of the C, like the 2005 swirl.
Yeah.
I think the thing that's really missing are the stars. Now, I think it's Mort Glazer is the one who did the 1976 logo, which again, stuck around for 25 years or 30 years, almost 30 years. And it's really cool. And I've seen some people throw a couple of stars at the top and the bottom of the DC, which works really well too. So I don't know. I'm just a big fan of the 76, but with Rebirth and with their turn of certain characters and some other things that are coming this week, I think going back to that period just before, you're still right in the middle of the Silver Age in 1972, a couple of years before the Crisis on Infinite Earth. I think this is a good logo for them to go with.
Yeah, it's fine. There are a lot of people saying, well, they just changed it. Why couldn't they make up their mind? Well, the 70s, they kept changing it too. It's like every 2-3 years, there was a new logo.
Yeah, it was 72, 74, and 76 were when the logos changed. Prior to that, it was 1949. So,
wow.
That's a lot of quick succession there.
Yeah.
I'm mostly a fan of the one that they got in trouble for.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the
The Swirl of 2005.
No, mm-hmm. Not that one. The one before that. Oh. The stars on it.
Oh, the 76. No, that one they didn't get in trouble for.
Oh, that's it's not the one they got in trouble for.
It's the 2005 star swirl one.
Oh, see, I kind of like that one. I think that one feels modern. It feels, I don't know, feels three dimensional.
Mm-hmm. It feels modern, but also retro. It's got a good look to it. I'd take either of those, honestly. This new one is a little plain. Somebody in your comments said it best. They said, where is it? I really hate it. This is from Steve. I really hate it. It looks like a font on a dollar store toothpaste.
Yeah, that one is a good one. But the thing is, when you see it out of context just like that, it does look kind of plain and does kind of look chunky and unwelcoming. But like I've said, I've seen it on some of their branding already, and it actually works really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody else says, not a fan. I thought the previous logo had great cross-media appeal. This one looks like a poor step back. Yeah, there's a lot of differing opinions, obviously. Big shock, everybody. People on the internet have opinions about logos changing.
No way.
Wow. I know.
People on the internet don't like things. What?
I don't want to freak you out or anything, but that's the way it works. All right, Jeff Johns and John Berg are in charge. Oh, I know what I was going to ask you. It just hit me.
Okay.
Did you see the premiere of Preacher?
No, I did not.
I didn't either.
It's up on my queue. Okay. I was editing videos last night, posting them online. So.
Okay. I'm just really curious about your opinion because I haven't seen it yet either, and I'm...
So consensus this morning from the Twitterverse is that it was good.
That it was good.
That it was really good.
All right. AMC doesn't dink around, so I feel pretty good about the... I hear it was super gory.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not nearly languagey.
Probably not.
That it's basic cable.
Yeah.
And I heard, what else did I hear? That it's funny.
Yeah.
That there's a lot of humor in it.
Yeah. So. And I do know that for people wondering, Arsface does look like Arsface from the comics.
Right on, dude.
I don't think he appears in this first episode. Yeah. I think it's like episode 4 is when he appears.
And if you want to see what Arsface looks like, just search Arsface on image Google search and good luck to you.
Good luck. There's no safe search.
Rule 34, not apply. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Jeff Johns, John Berg, all in charge of DC Films. What changed? Why is that true? Is that a good thing? What do you think?
Well, so the interesting thing is apparently Batman v Superman isn't successful.
What?
Not by
even though it made like $780 million worldwide, it's still less than what DC had hoped for. So Warner Brothers is streamlining a bunch of stuff, and they're putting people in charge of specific divisions. Like there's one person in charge of just the Lego Movie and the Harry Potter line. And they've taken Jeff Johns and John Berg and put them in charge of DC Films, which will oversee all of the DC Films property. So for those of you who don't know, Jeff Johns is the chief creative officer over at DC Comics. And he was put into this position at DC Films because of his involvement with making the television universe as successful as it is. Now, of course, Greg Berlanti is part of that. But because he pushed for it and got it in there. Johns moves up to the big leagues.
Also, best run of Flash ever in comics.
Oh, gosh. So good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know about Jeff Johns' run. Mark Waid would certainly have done a much better and much longer run than Jeff Johns did.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's
love
kind
Jeff
of good.
Run, though. It's really good.
This is kind of a good thing because Jeff Johns does have that foot in comic books and that history and that love of stuff. I think it may mean if there are any drastic changes coming that we might see more Silver Age stuff because that is the stuff that he really loves. Maybe part of the bad thing is if you do love Jeff Johns as a comic book writer, he's basically not going to be able to write comic books anymore. When he was put in charge of as the chief creative officer, he was told and DC was told that he could only work on two books at any given time. Mm. Now that he's in charge of DC Films and still is the chief creative officer at DC, he's been told you can't write any comics at all because you don't have the time.
It's fine with me. I mean, if he can bring his creative juice to the movie stuff and get their cinematic crap in order. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And I think he's got some good ideas. I'm just afraid that we're going to see like Girder in a movie coming soon.
Oh, no Girder.
He's if you've watched the first and second seasons of Flash, they are littered with Jeff Johns's villains.
How high do you think the chances are we're going to get that quilt dude on the next Batman movie?
Oh, geez.
Probably not.
Okay.
I'm still holding out hope for Matter Eater Lad.
Ah, Matter Eater Lad.
they still have not tied in the Legion of Superheroes stuff just yet.
No, yeah.
So that could be coming. And honestly, if CW is really looking for a teenage-friendly show, Legion of Superheroes will have an expense to it, but it would certainly attract.
Yeah, no
I mean,
kidding.
You could just litter it with almost every teenage star and still not fill up the entire Legion roster.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's a lot of teenagers out there, so yeah. Let's do it.
We had a character that I had to look up at the end of Legends of Tomorrow. I'm not going to say who it is, but I didn't know him by name, so
was
I had
it
to
arm,
look
up. Was it Arm Fall Off Boy?
Arm Fall Off Boy.
Is there really an Arm Fall Off Boy?
There's a Gerard Way's band.
No. There was a Legion tryout. He's guy's only in there for one panel, but he's gone down as one of the worst creations ever. No, and the guy's coming up, and he yanks his arm off and plops it on the table. He goes, "I'm Arm Fall Off Boy."
Wow.
Look up Arm Fall Off Boy. Legion of Superheroes.
I could not believe that's wow. Okay.
That's amazing. Arm Fall Off Boy.
By the way, I know Gerard Way's My Chemical Romance. So, yeah.
Chat room.
Back. It was not him.
Oh,
it was Rex.
Luther.
Rex Ruther.
I'm Rex Ruther. Ruh-oh.
Speaking of Ruh-oh, Scooby Apocalypse does arrive this week as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Well, watch for that. Oh, yeah, you know what? The Apocalypse, that's sure getting the bad reviews. People are not liking that
X-Men Apocalypse, yeah, but it made $100-some million over the weekend worldwide, so.
It'll do money, but then people are going to get burned, and then they may not want to go back again. Like, I don't know what's going on with Fox and their... The last two Fox, what was the Fantastic Four and then this. Mm-hmm. They may be on a bad run, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of those guys. All right. Actually, I'm going to look real quick to see what the updated Rotten Tomato score is. Anyway, beyond that, Brian, you'll be excited to know that Steven has news of a new Civil War Dice Masters.
I am excited about this, yeah.
Civil War Dice Masters.
Yeah, those came out a couple of weeks ago. They were supposed to be in stores in time for the movie, but I think they came out the Tuesday after. But Brian, I know that you're a big fan of the Marvel Dice Master side, so go out and pick up that. They have everything, Gravity Feed, Starter Set, all that stuff, so.
Cool.
50? Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Haven't played in a long time. My uncle and I were the ones who played that, and we haven't gotten together to play in a while, so I'm just holding out, not necessarily going to jump on this set until I know I'm going to have more time to play.
Cool.
Here we go.
50. Any new mechanics in the set, though? Like any new?
Fast, I think, was introduced in the DC set. I can't remember what this one is, if it's like Intimidate or something like that, where basically... if someone isn't blocking you, you can knock out that character.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fast. I like that.
Fast.
It's a nice stat. The 52% on the Rotten Tomatoes deal there. It's not, well, you know, it's you not worse.
Chance There's, of it being good. Chance
yeah,
of
that's
it being
about
bad.
Half. About half, you know.
Yeah.
It does say 99% of people want to see it. So the audience want to see it rating is off the charts. Mm-hmm. Here's an interesting quote here from Ed Whitfield of the Ooh Tray. Who says Gifted is a terrific cast and layers of psychological intrigue that bested anything in the original series, but Singer's degenerated Vaughn's original, whatever that is, not the kind of mutation anyone expected or hoped for. That didn't make any sense. Let's read this one instead. The saga starts to show signs of weariness, and the humor has been significantly toned down. That's what I've been hearing. Is it's super like dark?
Dark and. Oh no.
Well, he is Apocalypse. He's trying to kill everybody on the planet.
Well, he's the name like Apocalypse.
It's got to be 52%.
Well, more on that as it comes out. I'm surely there'll be some sort of review engine type stuff
I'm
over there at Major
seeing
Spoilers.
It opening night.
Of
so,
course you are. Whatever. Of course you are. You know what you should do? What's You're going to be, well, this Brian should do a special review of it. But he's too nice. He likes everything. Don't.
Oh, no. I'm hard on stuff that you know, if it's crap, I'm not going to be giving it any.
Well, you had me at hard on.
I know. I was waiting for a nice one.
The jizz whiz.
All right, great. Thanks, so, Stephen, always good to talk to you, man. Anything happening over there that you'd like to tell people about?
Well, we have talked a lot about DC today, and apparently DC has been dominating the last couple of weeks. So I hear there is some announcement that Marvel may be making tomorrow. So keep your eyes and ears open about that.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Movie-wise or what?
I don't know. It's just this rumor popped up that said, hey, Marvel's kind of upset, and they're trying to find a way to capitalize and pull the spotlight away from DC. So they're going to have some announcement tomorrow, probably about new books. But
our next edition of Captain America will be a blind gay black woman. That's what it's going
to
be.
We're changing our logo to a circle with an M in the middle.
All All right. Well, watch for that. Majorspoilers.com. Major Spoilers on Twitter. Steven, thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, guys.
Bye now.
See you.
What's he inferring when he calls us bye
guys? You know, he's a...
What do you suppose that means? All right. What do you say about a little Veronica time? She's here this week.
For sure.
She's gone next week. She's busy speaking at some sort of speaking arrangement engagement, which is exciting stuff. Welcome to the show, everybody. Veronica Belmont, who is here all the way from San Francisco, California.
Good morning.
Hello. Good morning. How is the Bay Area right now?
Beautiful.
Of course it is. Gosh dang it. You guys in your perfect weather all year, your boring weather people who have nothing new to say every day. The worst.
Sometimes it's foggy. Sometimes it's not. Yep. Weather.
Yeah, weather. Now to sports, which is good too because you guys have the Giants and the whatnot. By the way, what kind of seats did you have? Jeez.
Dope seats, guys. Well, they were okay. Yeah, they were down the third baseline. I won a contest.
What?
I won a contest.
What'd you win? How'd you win? What was it?
It was the Giants did this like SFG play ball contest to get like people to go play catch with each other and just enjoy being outdoors and spending time together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Whoa, that looks easy." So all you have to do is post a picture of you playing catch on Instagram or Twitter with the hashtag SFG play ball. I'm like, okay. So I went to the dog park and I don't have a baseball. And so I just threw a tennis ball to Bodega and she caught it in her mouth. And I said in the video, "Hope this counts."
And they did it.
Apparently it did. But wow. I looked at the hashtag and at that time, it was the last day of the contest and only like 7 people had done pictures on Instagram with the hashtag. And I'm like, my chances are pretty good.
Oh, yeah, turns out they were real good. Maybe it'd be funny if you got like free tickets to Wimbledon or something instead because you threw a tennis ball to the dog.
I know. But it was fun. And there were other contest winners sitting around us. And it was a good game. We won.
Nice.
And I was supposed to stay afterwards to play catch on the field afterwards. And I didn't have a glove. So we left.
So you take off.
And didn't have Bodega either. So.
And Bodega wasn't there either. So
forget it. We're out of here, you said.
Yeah, it was still great.
Well, it's good to have you on. Speaking of which, do you ever play video game baseball games? Is that ever a thing you've done? Okay, I'm just curious.
I don't play like the show or anything.
All right, people rave about that game, and I'm always tempted every year that it comes around, because I like a good baseball game, and then I never do it. So I was just curious.
I got burned by like Madden back in the day. Like I played it once, and I didn't understand football at all, and I couldn't figure out what I was supposed to do. And so I was like, there's a lot of complicated things. I didn't know how to make the team. I didn't know what the positions were, so I just felt like I was always losing. With baseball, I actually understand how the game is played, so maybe I'd have more fun.
Yeah.
You might like that. I don't know.
That's a venerable series. People like that thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, notwithstanding, you're here to talk about video games. We're not going to have you for next week because we really want to pack you in today.
Okay.
I don't know why I said that, but why don't you tell us what's going on? What did you find this week? What's happening?
We got our Vive.
Oh,
cool.
So we've been vibing it up. So I thought maybe we could chat about that.
Yeah.
Do you have yours yet or do you have an Oculus?
No, So I canceled my Oculus pre-order because they kept delaying it and it just bugged me and it pissed me off. And I thought, well, I'm not going to just wait. I'm going to just get a Vive or something else. And now that's on back order to hell and back. So I don't know when anything's going to get here. I probably would have the Oculus by now if I hadn't been so impatient. But here's the deal. I'm very curious, now that you've got it, where your sort of motion sickness thing ended up with extended use.
Still not great, I have to say. It's not perfect. And I'm just worried, like I feel like everything's so blurry all the time and like I'm always working really hard to focus my eyeballs on stuff. I don't know if that's like a regular experience or if I'm just not seeing it right or if I haven't dialed it in yet. So I don't know if it's ever gonna get better. It's okay. It's just really blurry.
And you is it just a thing where it's like extended periods are no good for you and you can do short jaunts but nothing long or what?
Yeah, I mean, I played for about half an hour on Sunday in Job Simulator, and I had a lot of fun, but it was the whole time I was playing, I was like squinting my eyes and trying to focus in on things more, you know, and it was difficult. So it kind of takes some of the fun out of it for me, and I want it to be better. I want it to be clearer. I just don't know how to fix it.
Well, you're like me in that you have some correction. You wear glasses occasionally and contacts and stuff. Are you able to... like, what do you do with that? Are you able to wear them in there or no?
Yes, I've been wearing them in there. I think I'm going to try my contacts. Mm. I don't wear my contacts anymore. Yeah, I don't really wear them anymore because they give me headaches if I wear them for too long. Mm-hmm. But if I put them on in the morning and play some VR before the headache starts, and maybe I won't get sick from the VR. And then, but I need time for my eyes to adjust because if I switch from my glasses to my contacts, I get a little sick because they go, both the lenses in my glasses are corrective, but I only wear one contact lens.
Oh, weird. Cool. I mean, kind of cool. That's kind of cool.
Because mm-hmm. one eye is nearsighted and one's farsighted.
Oh.
And one's astigmatism. So I don't need to correct my left eye. Like I can go without it, but it's better if I have the glasses on. It corrects it.
I'm the same in reverse. My left eye needs the contact lens. My right eye doesn't.
Interesting. Yeah.
So when you wear them.
I could wear a monocle. But we should be monocle twins.
I know.
But if you wear. Oh, that's a great idea. Monocles are cool. But if you wear glasses, is one of the lenses just there's no correction in it?
Or? No. Both. So my glasses correct both eyes.
Oh, okay. Because you're talking about the combined vision, and that's different depending on what I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. So my left eye can go without if it has to. It's okay, and it doesn't really the contact doesn't fix the astigmatism, so I don't really need to wear it. But the glasses can fix the astigmatism issues.
Well, it's funny because VR has a way of. I don't think they're, you know, this isn't necessarily a real negative thing, but VR does have a way of whittling down who can use it. And by that, I mean, like, you know, if there's a TV and a controller and a console hooked up, you and me and Brian and anybody can sit down in front of that thing, even if we're missing an eye. I've got a glass eye in my head. I can play a video game. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the minute you introduce this sensory experience where the screens are, you know, only a few inches from your eyeballs themselves, and while there's some adjustment, it's for the most part pretty locked. You're trapped into this new thing of like, all right, well, whatever my sight situation is, whether it's color blindness or normal vision or off normal or whatever it may be, now you've got a new thing to contend with. And I feel like it just, I don't know, it whittles down the percentage of people who it can be universal for.
It seems like there should be some sort of technology that they could do where the lenses in the VR system can be adjusted for nearsightedness, farsightedness, like making, having a distance between the part of the glass that's closer to your eye and further from your eye, and like changing that. I know you can't really change the thickness very easily, but your first game will be which is better, A or B? A or B?
Right. Yeah, exactly. I just want the ability to like have a dial on the side. I can do the PD, but even my PD is too low. Mm. So my PD is like 59 and it only goes to 60 like 60.1 or something on the Vive. So I can't even get the PD down low enough for my eyes. I guess my eyes are like really close together or something.
Well, I didn't want to say anything.
I know. Awkward. So I've got all this stuff working against me, but the gaming experiences have been fun. I've been, and our space isn't that big either too. So like with the, when you're in the lab in the Valve game, what's that one called? Oh, and you're like,
is it just called the lab? I think it's just called the lab.
I think it's the lab. And you're doing the one where you pull the guys back and shoot them at the big stacks.
Yeah.
That's really fun. But in my room, I can't get close enough to the thing to grab the slingshot. It's like I hit my bookshelf and it's like, and all the guide wires come up and I'm like, oh, and it takes me out of it every single time.
Space is an issue for sure with these things.
Space is an issue.
So the other question I had is there a game or experience you've played where you're just like, oh my gosh, that is a must experience thing? Or are we still in that stage of, these are all interesting tech demos, but the blow us away, really cool, full-fledged experiences are some years off?
Yeah, I think they're not some years off. I think they'll be happening very soon. Mm. But for me so far, it's I enjoy doing Job Simulator, but I don't know how much time I could really spend in there. Mm-hmm. But I was a convenience store clerk for a long time. And so I was like, oh, this is fun. Oh, hello. What can I help you with today? Would you like a hot dog? Like, I enjoy stuff like that. So it was fun.
I like that. I love that thing basically represents the thing that none of us would want to do 8 hours a day. Like, they've made a game out of work.
Right.
Which is so insane to me that works somehow.
Ooh, I finally get to upgrade my stapler.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of how it works. So that stuff's really interesting to me, and I'm anxious to see how people build on that and iterate on that idea. Well, you'll have to keep us up to date on what you end up doing with it. You know, I'm very curious, like in 2 months, what is Veronica doing with her Vive? Is she, you know, no longer, nothing's coming out that she cares about, or is she using it every day now? Like that's, I'm very curious about the long term. And that's the thing you don't hear a lot about because this is all so new.
Right.
I heard a couple of people like, oh yeah, mine's collecting dust already. And then I've heard others are like, no, I'm in there every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, well, the VR hair is a serious consideration too. Like, I can only use it at the end of the day. And I finally started playing The Witcher again. I got the first DLC for The Witcher, so I'm back in Witcher.
Oh, good. That requires no headset. You can just play that with, and your hair can be Vive wherever it wants.
Yeah.
Head free or whatever.
That's a different thing, Brian.
Yeah.
You
don't want Vive head. You definitely don't want Vive head. Also, final thought. You're going to Montenegro.
Yes.
And if anyone listening is there, check out Veronica because she's not performing. You're doing a talk or something. Tell people what you're doing.
I'm speaking at the Spark.me conference in Budva. Montenegro. I've been saying the capital of Montenegro all wrong too. I can't even pronounce it. I'm pathetic, but yeah, this is my first time to the Balkans.
All right.
So it should be exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Well, watch for that. We'll certainly have some sort of a report when you get home, and you're going to do great. I'm 100% sure about that. Veronica Belmont, everybody. Veronica on Twitter. Follow her there. Take it easy. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
See you.
Okay. She hangs up quicker than I do. That was awesome. All right, Brian, two calls. Yes, sir. You want to do a couple calls?
I'd like to do a couple calls, yeah.
Here's one. From a familiar voice.
Hey, Scott, it's Chad, man. Listen, I don't mean to call and complain, but I just got caught up on Thursday's show, and there was that guy that wrote in the whole thing about Santa Claus, which I kind of laughed off, but, dude, I got to be honest with you. I'm sitting there riding in the car with my daughter, which is five, man, and you get your freaking sister on the line, and she... I mean, you got to give somebody a heads up, man. I mean, because I'm sitting there, we're riding in the car... Everything's fine. Listen to the morning stream. Everything's going good. And then Wendy comes on and calls Rush a freaking hair band. Dude, have some standards.
Have some standards.
Nice.
Yeah, Wendy did. Yeah. She's taken some legit internet heat for referring to Rush as a hair band.
Does Geddy Lee have hair or not? I believe he does.
Yeah.
Therefore.
Yep, they have hair.
They are a hair band.
I've got a big nose. I sing
about
space.
That's a very
space.
Good point.
You know, I used to see that in high school. I've got a big nose. I sing about space. That was our impression of Geddy.
That's your impression of Rush.
Yeah, if my buddy Mark's listening, he and I, growing up, he was the biggest Rush fan I ever knew in my freaking life. Like, Mark had every Rush thing there was. I would go to his house. We'd listen to those records in his living room. He knew everything. He could air drum Neil Peart, like, drum solos.
Nice.
Like, it was insane. So I'm sure that when he heard... Rush being referred to as a hair band, he was none too happy.
Yeah, well, it's not her specialty.
No, it's not. But what is, really? Well, I guess psychology and things like that. Got a Seinfeld reference. Somebody mentioned something that I was not aware of. Here it is.
My name's Chris. I was just listening to the Thursday episode, and you guys were talking about Seinfeld, and this might be something that everybody knows, and I'm just thinking that I'm, you know, real clever and everything. But did you know that the first line about the button on George Costanza's shirt is also the last line in the last episode of the finale? I just thought that was kind of interesting. And you're probably right, Brian. That seemed like a really nice guy. Love the show, though. Bye.
I don't know why. I don't know where that came from.
That was a weird non sequitur.
Yeah, we must have said something.
I never noticed that. So, like but that totally makes sense. It seems like something that they would do, right? Like showing that they just fall back in their old ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like here, I think he was in the restaurant when he made a comment about his button, and then the last button comment.
Right.
See, it's funny because separately, I remember both moments, but it never clicked with me that they were bookending the show with the same line. That's crazy,
right? Totally makes sense.
You know what I heard today? It freaked me out completely, and I retweeted it because it's so weird. Dan Trachtenberg tweeted this, but the place where the set for all the weird shit that was going on in that Stanley Kubrick movie with Tom Cruise and his wife, what was that called?
Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut is the exact same set, building, place, location that all of Downton Abbey is filmed in.
Oh, really?
Yeah, isn't that weird?
That is really weird.
Yeah, gave me the willy-nillies.
Wow.
Gave me the giz whiz.
The jizz whiz.
Sorry, the jizz whiz.
The jizz whiz.
Bad gay movies.
Bad gay movies.
All right. That's going to do it for today's programming. Thank you all for joining us. If you want to be a caller like them's people that just called, you can call us 801-471-0462, or if email's more your speed, themorningstream@gmail.com. Our website is frogpants.com/TMS. You can support us at patreon.com/TMS. Big thanks to Alpha Geek Radio for simulcasting the show each and every day at alphageekradio.com. Do check them out for other programming. They're awesome. On Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson and Coverville. Let's get the H out.
Sure. All right. So this one is going out to both Nick and Megan. Wrote in together and said, I'm requesting this song because today is my 21st birthday, says Nick. Don't know how wild and crazy I'll get, but I'm excited to be able to drink at Nerdtacular 2017. Sadly, not 2016. It also happens to be my girlfriend Megan's 22nd birthday on the 25th of May as well. She's also a big fan of this band, so I guess you could say this request is for the both of us. We met you both for the first time at Nerdtacular 14. Can't wait to see you guys again next year. Thanks for all you do. Here's some backstory on the band and the song. Ninja Sex Party is primarily a comedy band, but they recently released an album called Under the Covers, and it's quickly turned into an album I have in my regular playlist. The lead singer, Dan Avidan, is from the YouTube show Game Grumps. He's a hilarious guy and a great singer. They're very loyal to the original, and overall, I think it's awesome. So, if we can't get a bacon, chicken, tender, crisp, ranch, Whopper, Big Mac, fish sandwich song.
It's a tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
That's as close as you're going to get to that.
That's
whole
all
mess.
You're going to get. Yep. Then you're going to get this. It's a cover of Tears for Fears, Everybody Wants to Rule the World. This is, again, by the band Ninja Sex Party. You'll find it on their brand new album, Under the Covers. This is great stuff.
Come back tomorrow, you potato heads.
Come to your life.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Bearded Fruit.
That's right. Bearded Fruit.
Bearded Fruit.
Bearded Fruit.
Bearded Fruit. Bearded Fruit.